What were the biggest reasons for you for getting behind this legislation?
Yes, well, I think it's time that we do more for our teachers in order to create an environment in North Carolina where we can attract and retain the best of the best in educators. I think that our families deserve that. Our schools and our students definitely deserve the best that we can offer as far as quality teachers in the classroom, which will lead to better educational outcomes. That's important to me. That's important to families all across the state. Chris, as you know, my two children are in the public school system here in Wake County, and I really can't think of anything that is more important in education than the quality of the educators that are spending the day with the children every day in our school system. So this is supposed to boost that starting teacher pay to $50,000, which is what several districts are asking for across the state. It also restores master's pay, which the General Assembly did take that away maybe a decade ago. Some of the districts, I think Wake County, picked that up. But it would restore master's pay. And the creative thinking here in this bill is the third component, and that would study a dollar allotment system where it would provide districts at the local level, we have 115 of them in North Carolina, the flexibility to use state dollars for pay in a way that meets that individual district's needs. For example, if Wake County or Hope County or whatever county is having a hard time recruiting and retaining AP pre-calc teachers, for example, maybe they would want to use those dollars in a more flexible way to recruit and retain those hard-to-fill jobs.
Let me piggyback on a couple of those. You mentioned the educators and getting those top quality educators and retaining those educators. Are you concerned that the way things are currently structured now, North Carolina might be missing out on some of those top educators?
Well, I think that we are falling behind some of our neighbors when it comes to pay. I mean, we have fallen behind South Carolina with pay, which I think is unacceptable. So if I were an educator coming out of, you know, college wanting to make a career out of this, I would be thinking about where I wanted to teach. So I think it's incumbent on us as legislators to make sure that North Carolina is an attractive environment for those talented teachers, particularly teachers that take the time to receive a master's degree or additional education. That can only benefit the classroom, benefit the student, and improve the overall competitiveness of the education environment in North Carolina. I think that's a goal that we can all get behind, and I think this bill takes a major step in that direction.
What about this pay increase that you talked about, the $50,000 for starting teacher pay? Is that just for teachers, or would that extend to like a teacher assistant or something like that?
Yeah, so the $50,000 is starting teacher pay, so it hikes it up. Right now, it's 41, and that just went up from 39 from last year. So this would be a significant increase for teachers. And then there's the step system that's already in place, and so that starting teacher pay would be 50, and then the normal step increases would continue from that level. Instructional assistants and non-certified public school employee pay, those we did hike up that beginning pay. Mm-hmm. I think it was actually my bill when I was a freshman legislator, and that passed the General Assembly and made it in the budget. So those regular salary increases or pay increases are very important, and this wouldn't change that. But this particular bill that I filed this couple days ago in this session would only deal with teachers, not the non-certified public school employees like TAs. That would be mirrored in a bill that I filed my first session when I was up here. But those teacher assistants, instructional support, administrative support, custodians, all those cafeteria workers, all those people are integral to a well-functioning school system. And I think I recognize that, and everybody at the General Assembly definitely recognizes that. But this particular bill deals with just the starting teacher pay.
Sure. I would like to get your perspective on these budget negotiations that are ongoing now as well. As you look at the budget and how things are going to play out, what are some of the biggest needs that need to be addressed during this process?
Yes. So I'm a budget chair this year, and so this has been a very interesting experience for me to dip my toes into the budget process, even in the short period of time. As you know, the House and the Senate rotate mm-hmm. each legislative session of what chamber is going to start putting together the budget first. In this legislative session, it is the Senate. It was the House last session. So the Senate right now is coming up with their proposal. The way it works is the Senate passes their budget bill, the House will pass their version of their budget bill, and then the difference gets worked out between the budget chairs and, of course, House and Senate leadership. So I think that you will see an agreement among leadership in both chambers and the chairs that a major part of our budget is going to be focused on Helene recovery out in Western North Carolina. There's no question about that. I also think that there, you know, we're looking at doing significant work with regards to the needs of North Carolinians. And part of that, I think, is teacher pay and education, infrastructure, of course, and generally meeting the needs of North Carolina from a spending standpoint, while also making significant progress on that Helene recovery in Western North Carolina. So there's definitely going to be a balance here. We also have to see what the federal government is going to be doing as far as their effort to trim back and how that impacts North Carolina. So this is going to be a work in progress, but I think that we're all keeping an eye on what's happening at the federal level while also making our priorities of what we'd like to see happen at the state level as far as meeting the needs of North Carolina. And I look forward to seeing that work play out over the next several months.
As I let you go, we'd like your perspective on a couple of different bills that are in the House. And these are very different bills, I realize, but there's that concealed carry law. And then speaking of education, the cell phone ban during public instruction time. What do you make of those two legislative pieces that are making their way through the House?
Right. So it's kind of interesting. The cell phone ban bill, when that came up, I don't know if any of your listeners follow me on social media, but I kind of put out an unofficial poll to the community and just said, well, what do you think about that? And overwhelmingly, there was, first of all, significant participation and immediate participation, and it was overwhelmingly positive with parents and teachers alike. I think that the way that this bill in the House, at least, looks at the problem is it requires districts to come up with a policy as far as cell phone use to, at the very least, significantly restrict use in the classroom, if not ban it completely. But it sort of leaves that policy up to the local districts. And I think that's important because there are some situations where cell phones can be used as an educational tool. Some parents were interested in making sure cell phones were accessible to their children as an accountability piece for other students and teachers. There's health concerns. Some people use, students use their cell phone as a health monitoring device. And there are some parents that just want to have communication with their children in the classroom. So, but overwhelmingly, I think that the public, parents, teachers recognize that cell phone use in the classroom is a significant distraction to learning. And so I think that there's a lot of support for that. As far as the constitutional carry bill, that bill has been introduced in the House and the Senate for several sessions now. There's a lot of support for that among North Carolinians. I get a ton of emails on it. And it's a little bit different this year in that I believe that Leader Berger is actually on mm-hmm. one of the bills as a co-sponsor. So last session, it was more the House had a bill and the Senate decided they were not going to take it up. This time, the Senate appears that they will be supportive of taking up such a bill. You know, as well as your listeners know, that the House does have a bill, but I'm not sure how that's going to work since we are one vote shy of a supermajority. So if there's a viability path for this bill in the House, and of course, even if it passes the House, is vetoed by the governor, comes back to the General Assembly for reconsideration if there's a pathway for it to be successful. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. But it's going to be a very interesting session, Chris.
As it always is, never a dull moment. Wake County Representative Aaron Perret, always appreciate the time and the perspective and look forward to visiting again sometime real soon.
Excellent. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks so much.
Have a great week.
You too.